Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Every time my reunion comes around, it coincides with a severe downturn in my life. 5 years ago, Lilith divorced me. 5 years before that, I was left at the altar. 5 years before that, I fell face first into the poison ivy. And here we are, right on schedule, I'm freshly fired. I still don't know why you even went that poison ivy year. The point is, in 10 minutes, I have an extremely important job interview, a job for which I am eminently qualified, but that now I have no chance of getting.
How can you know that?
Because destiny won't allow it. Destiny's plan is for me to walk into that reunion this evening the way I always do, the class loser. Pitied and shunned by everyone until I wind up sitting with the most pathetic people there.
Hey, welcome live back here on Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess. And you've tuned into a great Perspectives show tonight because instead of talking about how happy you should be, you know how everybody likes to push down your throat the fact that you have a great life and that, you know, life is so awesome for you and that you should be so ecstatically happy on a daily basis. You know, people might ask you, why aren't you happy? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's on your mind? What's going on? You know, but instead tonight we're talking about how unhappy should you be? I mean, I think you should be as unhappy as you want, you know, because instead of other people telling you to be happy, they should probably focus on their own thing anyway. But people lecture all the time other people to be happier. But life really does throw us curveballs, right? Life can throw you a series of curveballs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as many as possible. And you know, that does lead to frustration, right?
Where's the Tylenol?
I've been frustrated. I've been angry. Resentment. Unhappiness. You know, just how unhappy should you be? You know, I think a lot of times it depends on, you know, various, you know, kind of life experiences. And I think that sometimes in life, when you endure lots of things, it can be hard. So instead of just saying, hey, I've had a hard life, or, you know, hey, you know, get out of my business, I'm not in a very good mood, I've invented a system of unhappiness, a unhappiness quotient score, you might say. Okay, so this is the concept. You don't have to follow it to the T, but it does allow for honest kind of assumptions, but also to dedicate a score, because if everybody's randomly haphazardly giving an unhappiness score to their life, we can't really justify the fact that they should be unhappy. You kind of got to go with the plan here. So this is my scoring thought process by Burgess, actually. So you got to score 1 to 100, right?
And the lower the score, the happier you are.
The lower the score, the happier. So one means you should be the happiest, absolute happiest person on the planet. A 1. Now, 100
means that you might as well just pack it in.
Yeah, might as well go buy the coffin right now.
You are done.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
And, you know, you might as well just get the burlap sack if you want to go that direction, or whatever you want to do. But you know what? You've done as much as you possibly can. And other people should just allow the fact that you've been through so much turmoil. So let's talk about how we can determine the perfect unhappiness score and make sure that it's relevant based on the unhappiness quotient, because you can't just like haphazardly give yourself 30 points for this and 20 points for that. We have to use a system, okay? There's a system. We have to be logical. That's what we're doing. So let's determine the score by tallying up all the setbacks you've had in your life, or at least all the ones you can remember, or all the perceived setbacks.
Are the ones you care to remember.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and maybe that's important just real quickly, Ashley. It's important to be honest.
It is important to be honest, right? Because it's like playing golf, okay? You can't just pick scores, okay? You got to be honest. Be honest. I mean, let's not fake this. I mean, add it if it's right. Don't just add haphazardly, oh, I've had 100 setbacks. No, you got to clearly, one, remember them. Okay, and two, you have to know that actually caused some sort of damage in your life, right? It's causing still issues right now. Not something that happened when you were 5 and you can't even remember it. This has to be like genuine. Like, this has to be causing like issues right now in your life. So let's talk about setbacks, losses, failures, and breakups. So, you know, Dana, we were talking before the show, and I was talking about the point allotment situation. So let's talk about the unhappiness quotient based on setbacks. We've all had a setback. I kind of define setback because I think this is important to define things so that people don't just like, you know, willy-nilly, you know, just give all kinds of points to setbacks. A setback, I think, is really a stop or a check in progress, right? It's a stop in progress. It could be a real stop or a perceived setback, which would be a stop or kind of getting you off your target. And I think for each life setback, right, you want to add 1 point to the score. Okay, so let's think about setbacks that we've had. I mean, how many setbacks have we had in our life? And I mean, we have to start tallying them up, I think. You know, get a pencil out. It'd be like you're in jail, you know, with the little numbers and you crisscross off the other ones, you know, for each whatever. So can you think of a setback immediately off the top of your head?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, like last year, I was working this one job and I got let go. And I was without a job for maybe like six to eight months until I found this job.
That's a long time. 6 to 8 months is a long time. It can make you really stressed out.
Oh yeah, I was stressed to the max, and you know, my now wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she knows how stressed I was.
Oh yeah.
So you know, because you know, I was kind of taking it out on her. I didn't mean to, but it's just the stress factor.
Oh well, so, yeah, it's a big deal, and emotionally, it's like on you, right? Because it's the only thing you can kind of think about, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, because all I could think about is like, well, I got to find a job. I have to work. You know, I just can't sit here and do nothing all day. I have to work. I have to do something. I have to be productive. You know,
that's smart.
So,
did you just go, were you online all day? I mean, was it taking up basically all your time was to try to find a job, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. My whole day was looking for jobs.
And it stressed out every other, you know, facet of your life because there you are trying to take care of this, trying to take care of that, you know, girlfriend, you know, going to make her the wife, all this stuff going on. And it's just like, you're thinking, okay, I got to get this done.
Right.
This is scaring me. You know, setbacks are a big deal, and I've suffered setbacks. I know that Billy has as well. Let's move on to the next one real quick, because I think this might get a lot of our listeners. What about a loss? Okay, what about a loss? Let's talk about a loss. In this case, with the Burgess Point System of Unhappiness, a loss is only defined as the loss of a loved one. Now, this means that they've either died or passed on, not that they left you or walked out of your life. Okay, that's a breakup that comes later. You can't add that in. But for each person that you've lost, like a loved one that has passed on, you can add 2 points. And I think that's important. I think the 2 point factor, because, you know, that matters. And I mean, you know, relatives are close and that kind of thing. And so if you remember them, I mean, they had to have been somebody in your life, you know, but setbacks, losses are important. What about failures, right? So think about your point allotment. Think about your idea of failure. Now, I don't know how you define it, Dano, but I define failure is kind of like it's in the context. I'm going to only say that it only deals directly with work, career, and education for right now. Okay, for right now. We can always add the relationship failure on the other side, but for right now, failure really equates to work, career, and education. So if you failed, like to start your own business, let's say like you wanted to start your own business and you couldn't get it off the ground or it didn't make any money. Or you failed to get a promotion, right? Or you failed school. Or you had to quit school. And I think those are all counted as failures. I think as far as that's concerned, when we look at job, even if you're in like a dead-end job, or you're in a very unhappy situation where you can't stand going to work, period. Like it just takes away, you know, the love you have. Like every breath you're thinking, okay, I got to go to bed and I got to get up and go to there tomorrow. Oh my gosh. And it takes away your will to live. It can be very frustrating.
Boy, have I been there.
You've been there?
Oh boy, have I ever. Yes.
I
could rack up about 50 points on that one, I think.
I understand. I mean, yeah, we've talked about that
before. I was going to say, you know my previous career before I switched over to
radio. Oh, yeah, and you were hating it.
I was just, I was like, I literally woke up one day, I would rather rob a bank than go to work one more day at this place.
See, I understand. So we have a caller on line two. Line two, you are on live with Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. Talk to me.
Hey, Ashley, this is Tammy.
Hey, Tammy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
It's wonderful to hear from you. Wonderful to hear from you. I love. So tell me, we're talking about the unhappiness quotient tonight. We're talking about, we're just now talking about kind of like work and career and failures like that. Do you have something to chime in on the point system this evening?
Absolutely. I have been working in my career field for about Well, in the medical field for almost 10 years now, but in the particular part of the medical field that I'm in, I've been in it, about 5 or 6 years. And I, last year, decided to take a turn in my career, and I went a different direction with it. And it turns out not to be my best idea I ever had. So now I'm in a situation where I hate going to work every day.
So you hate getting up. You kind of dread every single weekday.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm actually fixing to get out of my job and start another one. And I've got about 7 days left that I have to work at this job. And I'm dreading every single one of them.
The 7 longest days of your life.
Yes. Yes.
Those are going to be long days. At least you have a way out, though. That's a good thing. You have a strategy plan.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have that. Some people have been doing that for years. Like, they're on year 5, and they're thinking, okay, here we go. Another how many months of this year? We'll see. I'm either going to get fired, or I'm going to be stuck with this job.
Well, I think I've had it a lot in my life. I'm a very confident person in my abilities, and I'm a question asker, and I try to strive to do the very best I can in any job that I do, and I seem to succeed. But I work in a business with mostly women, and I tend to get very petty responses to the type of work I do because I tend to be very successful at what I do.
Okay. That makes sense. Like, that's a hard deal. I mean, like, I know a lot of women that find themselves in that situation very, very successful, very thoughtful, intelligent, can have a difficult time dealing with that, and that's across the board. And it's sad because it can get in your way of, you know, of being challenged, but it also gets in your way of just having a fun time and liking going to work.
Right, which really is hard because I love a challenge, and that's the main reason I took on the job that I have right now, just to do something a little bit more than what I was already doing, take on a little bit more of a challenge, and I love that. And it just seems like the challenge wasn't hard. It was who I'm working for and who I'm working with.
I gotcha. You know, Tammy, I appreciate your call. And I'd like to actually talk about more of this on the third segment of Perspectives, because I think you bring up a very good topic. And I'd love for you to call back in anytime here on Perspectives Future, because you got it. You got it on the ball. Very intelligent. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But Tammy, thanks so much for calling in.
You're so welcome. Nice to meet you, Ashley.
Well, good to meet you, too. And thank you so much. And stay tuned for more Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, because guess what? We'll be back in 2 shakes.
I swear to God, I feel like I have a curse on my head.
Frasier, you're a man of science. You know curses don't exist. There's a perfectly rational explanation for all of this. You tripped and fell into the poison ivy. Your radio station changed formats. Your wife didn't love you.
If this is a pep talk, would you kindly segue to the peppy part?
150 miles per gallon. Feeling the wind in your hair. Smelling the roses at 30 miles per hour. Never worrying about parking. Lightweight, sturdy, and the feeling of freedom at your hands. Bringing the past into the future. Jake's Custom Motorbikes is now offering custom, unique, and affordable alternative transportation. Like the Harleys and Indians of yesteryear, brand new lightweight motorized bikes for under $3,000. Starting at $750, the JakeBike.com offers made-for-you custom motorized bicycles, the newest craze in alternative, fuel-efficient transportation with style. Check out the JakeBike.com to order yours today. That's the JakeBike.com. Mention KLIF for a 10% discount on your custom motorized bike. Jake's Custom Motorbikes. The JakeBike.com.